Thank you both. Getting a new insight in scientific prayer calls for unlearning many attitudes and practices that we have become conditioned to over the many years. These changes do not come easy, as we all know. We are faced with a need to perceive a larger thought of God, which may be as difficult as the mental adjustment required of those who lived back in Columbus's day after he proved the world was round and not flat as they had always believed. It was actually several hundred years before people could see a sunrise or a sunset without perceiving the world was flat. And today, we can never take for granted that we have let go of the God out there perception and totally establish ourselves in the presence. Prayer is not trying to reach for God, not even to reach God. It is giving up the very desire to reach. We have talked about praying to God, sending our appeal to the man upstairs. And in this context, our prayer is a performance that we put on for his eyes and for his ears. However, if we can just get the perspective of the presence, then God is not someone to pray to, but a deep awareness, a depth of awareness, and a depth of energy to pray from. So, a vital step in prayer is focusing on that depth. As religious students in our Western world, we have been conditioned to believe in duality, the perception of God and humanity. We Westerners have found it extremely difficult to understand the Asian concept of oneness, the awareness of one basic spirit, one mind, one life, one substance. In more recent times, there has been a widespread interest in the Eastern practice of meditation. And in most cases, it has been taken out of the context of the oneness of God and humanity. The emphasis on meditating has been on consciousness expansion and relaxation response. And these are very helpful states, but they cannot lead a person to true self-awareness. Self-awareness can only come through practicing the presence of the realization of oneness with the ever-present divine flow of life. The word meditation brings to our minds a scantily clad guru sitting cross-legged on a chaise, holding a bouquet of flowers in his hands. It's not surprising that most clergymen and women reject meditation as a heretical practice because it has come from what they refer to as pagan religions of the East. Obviously, meditation meets with resistance because it turns people away from their dependence on dogma, on ritual, and clergy go-betweens. Meditation is considered a threat to the religious establishment. The inward art of meditation is an emphasis on turning within, touching the depths of our inner self, the point where God is manifesting as you. It is a vital step in prayer that has its roots for the Western seeker in Jesus' call to enter into thine inner chamber and shut the door and pray to thy Father in secret. It is the absence of the practice of meditation that has been missing, the missing key to power in the whole Christian concept of prayer. And so it is that the prayer of the most religions has deteriorated into a flurry of words and a performance of rites and rituals with very little or no real communion, no silence, and no listening. Imagine for a moment a 19th century fire department. Firefighting often consisted of forming a bucket brigade between the source of water and the fire. Buckets of water would be filled from a well or from a stream by means of a human chain, with the last person in the chain throwing the buckets of water on the fire. It was crude, but it was often an effective system. But just imagine the buckets being passed on through the human chain without first having been dipped in the water. How foolish the last person in the chain would feel as they threw buckets of nothing on the fire. And that is how it is with prayer that consists of rattling off a bunch of memorized words without taking time to touch the inner wellspring of living water. Meditation has become a very popular word in the past 20 plus years, but it has been a confused term. It has been thought of as a thing. One may say, oh yes, I meditate, or no, I don't meditate, but I would like to learn. Tell me now how to do it. And right at this point, we become vulnerable to all kinds of delusion because of the many different ways of meditation that exist. Of course, the person we are asking gives us their particular way, authoritatively, as the only way or the best way. A great yoga master, Aurobindo, said that it is not necessary to be told how to meditate. He held that whatever you need will come of itself. If in your practice and at all times you are sincere and you keep yourself open to the divine force, this should be considered by all of us who have gotten into meditation. It is an important insight, suggesting that you are a part of a wholeness which God is. So there is nowhere to go in meditation. It is not trying to get into something, or out of something, or up to something. And it is not trying to do something. Actually, it is not doing. Meditation is not something you learn to do, for the how involves a technique which may be mechanical, and there is simply no way that you can experience oneness with God in a mechanical way. You don't need to know how. You only need to have the desire. God is seeking you. One woman had a naively brilliant realization one day. She said, "Aha, now I see. God is praying for me." When you let go and you become open and receptive, the divine flow springs forth speedily. Now, we in divine science prefer to use the term the silence instead of meditation, because it puts the emphasis on a state of consciousness instead of a mental exercise. Jesus told us, "Go into your room and shut the door, and in praying, do not keep up empty phrases." In other words, wordless silence. Normally, prayer is chiefly concerned with words, whether spontaneous words or those taken out of a prayer book, or those we were taught to memorize as a child. It is with words that the average person says their prayers. I like to think that learning is what remains when you have forgotten everything that you've heard. In this same sense, prayer is what you experience beyond the words that you repeat. If you don't experience anything beyond words, then you may not be really praying. You are mumbling words and mouthing prepositions. This is not the high-level prayer I'm talking about. Prayer is where you are in consciousness. From the wisdom of the ancient Chinese, there is a saying that if a person be absolutely quiet, the heavenly heart will manifest itself. To be absolutely quiet. This is not easy, for most of us are so conditioned to activity and noise that silence is deafening. Like a city person going to the country, quiet lanes, just the rush of the wind through the trees, it's deafening. Have you been throwing buckets of nothing on the flames? Be still. Turn away from the tendency to plunge into prayer by rattling off your repertoire of affirmations. Now, in truth, we believe in the prayer of affirmation rather than the prayer of supplication. We speak the word of truth. But unless we become centered in the source of power within, we may use affirmations and treatments like a cosmic club, with which we try to beat off the terrors of day and night. We talk of the power of the spoken word, but words have no power of themselves. They are marvelous instruments of power if we are in tune with the divine flow. Otherwise, when we are working with a problem, there is a tendency to start mouthing affirmations as if we were throwing darts. Consider for a moment the archer in target practice. The archer stands on the archery line, bow and arrow in hand, facing a target that is 50 yards away in distance. Now the object is to send the arrow to the target. The intellect might logically tell us to fling the arrow as far as possible, but you can't fling an arrow more than a few yards. There is certainly no way that you can get it to the target in that way. And that is why you have the bow. You fix the arrow in the bow, and you keep your left arm stiff. The arrow is fixed to the string with your thumb and index finger on your right hand. And then you pull the arrow. You pull it back and back and back and back. Your object is to send the arrow to the target, but you are pulling the arrow away from the target. And this is the secret process. You pull the arrow back as far as you can, building up a great latent energy. And then what do? Do you flick the arrow out? No, you don't. You simply let it go. That's right, you just let it go. You let it go and swoosh, the arrow flies straight and true toward the distant target. And this is a good illustration explaining the role of silence in prayer. We want to pray for the condition out there, but we need to let go and go down our well to experience and become filled with heavenly energy. And then we may look on the condition for which we are praying, and with no anxious effort, simply take our word of truth, let it go, and swoosh, it goes forth to accomplish that where it was sent. And now, mysteries of mysteries, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. It is a reminder that I of my own self can do nothing, but through the power of God in me, I can do all things. I have little power in my human consciousness, but when I am lifted up into the Christ consciousness and attuned to the divine flow of life, I can do all things. True prayer is not indulging in the tensions and frustrations that have led you to engage in the prayer, for this would be extremely counterproductive. Prayer must involve a letting go, a recentering of yourself in oneness with God. And then instead of praying to God about the problem, you pray from the consciousness of God, projecting spiritual power into a stream that transcends the human conditions to heal and to harmonize and to make you prosper. In other words, you must get away from the sense of struggle, frantically beating on the doors of heaven, trying desperately to solicit God's help. Oh God, I need you now. If God were the human being-like entity that most of the world tends to relate to God as being, then God might say, all right, if you need me, be still and accept it, for my answer was present in you even before you asked for my help. Be still and know. Be still, and the Father who knows what things you have need of will open you, reward you openly. The kingdom of God is within you, your very own divine potential. Be still and accept this transcendent self of you, this spiritual process in you. Truth is process. Have faith in this process. Its action is divine. Its action is perfect. And its action is wonderful. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? So please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes, place your feet flat on the floor, and your hands in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly, releasing all of the tension, the frustration, the worries and your concerns. Let go. Let go and let God do His work. Be still. Let go of anger. Let go of resentment. Let go of jealousy. Let go of anything that is negative in your awareness right now. And just be still. Be still and go within to the very center of your being. to the heart of you where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms, unconditional love, and peace. Let us be still and quiet as we enter our private sanctuary where our Father rests and awaits our visit. Close the door and shut it tight so that nothing can come in and disturb or distract you. And tilt your ear heavenwards as if to say, Father, speak, I am listening. Most gracious and loving Father, we have heard the gentle whisper of your voice, the voice that guides, the voice that comforts, the voice that strengthens and heals. And we are grateful. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you, and he lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love, his peace, his strength, his purpose. Amen.